Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Kelly Lynn, who is the Spiritual Director of the Journey Home School of Ascension, also founder of the 501c3 non-profit organisation, the Ultimate Gift Foundation, where their mission is to build the Seven Rays Ranch, which is a school of ascension for children. She is an ordained minister with the Universal Life Church, an author, and has been a self-mastery instructor and spiritual life coach. I will finally say that she approaches her work, in her own words, as a child of God, a child of love, and her most important role is her deep and joyous union with her beloved Creator. That's a very nice introduction. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes, I am.
Fine. I can't hear you too well, but I know you're there.
Okay, I'll speak up for you too.
Oh, that's better, yeah, that's much better. Now, I will say immediately that you and I are on the same waveband here. I'm also engaged in giving out information about ascension. What I read of your own thoughts is very much in line with mine. So I think you'll find a lot of our listeners who subscribe to my messages will also agree. Now, I think a good place to start is where you have informed me through your website that ever since you were a child, you could see the soul of everyone you met. Now, we'd obviously like you to explain exactly what you mean by that, and I'm assuming that you felt their light, in a manner of speaking, rather than seeing something around them, but you may like to tell us exactly what it is.
Sure, yeah. When I would see people, I would see the essence of love that they are. I would see, like you said, their light, their radiance, their perfection, their beauty, their gifts, their amazing uniqueness, and yet the oneness. I would see that they are love and that they are light. And that's how I would know people, and that's how I would see people. And
right.
That's the truth of who we all are.
Right, yes. Now, when you talk of seeing their light, do you mean in the same manner as people would explain seeing the different colors of the aura?
Well, no. That I see in a different way. What I mean by their light, I guess there really isn't a word for it, rather than just that. It's like particles that radiate.
Yeah.
And they're not connected, but yet there's no space. So there's really not it's like a luminousness, rather.
Yes, I understand.
Uh-huh. So it's
right,
it's like their life force,
yeah.
The essence of their being.
So is it, in fact, varying degrees of what we may call sort of white light around people?
That is your life force, that white light, that glow that is pulsating around us. That is our life force, you know, our etheric template, our different causal bodies and such. And it is that light that is illuminating around us, absolutely.
Yes. But I believe you had the extra ability to feel the levels of those lights. So presumably you could pick out those who were more of the light and love.
Oh, absolutely. It's very clear to see. You can feel and sense. To me, I have kind of an analogy, and it's that we are all like a 100-watt light bulb, pure reflecting
yeah.
light, right?
Yeah.
And as we go through life struggles and different incarnations, different challenges that teach us or inform us that we're something less than we are, we kind of get like a covering or a layer, a cloak, if you will, over our light bulbs. And over the different times, the lifetimes, and the struggles that we go through and the wounds that we kind of accumulate, it's like we become more and more enclosed, our light does. And if you were to look at the person, their light is still 100% pure and perfect. It's just that now that there's layers, covering it. And there may be so many layers that they may not even be aware of their own light. But their light never is diminished, and the light is never broken or marred, or it can never be taken away or stolen.
Right. So you've mentioned your belief in the fact that people have a series of lives. Do you find or do you know that they tend to carry some of their problems and their worries from one life to another without actually sorting them out?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all have kind of like a mainframe, an archetype, you know, that we carry through, kind of like a main theme, if you will. And we kind of like take different positions in lifetimes to experience different facets of it or different positions on the same issue. But yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, the metaphor, the analogy that this life is a school. Well, you take any child in the kindergarten, and they take everything forward that they learned, you know, good, bad, ugly, and different. They take everything that they learned forward into the first grade and then on to the second and to the third. And if we don't complete the process of understanding whatever we are experiencing, then we need to bring that lesson forward, because God asks us that we learn and that we grow. But God doesn't ask that we suffer.
Right.
So as long as we are learning and growing, there's no need for suffering.
In fact, would you agree that we actually bring the suffering upon ourselves?
Absolutely. It's a choice. God only asks us to learn and to grow and to come home. And how we do that is up to us.
Yes. I can see your thoughts there come into your comments on your website again, where you said, "The purpose of the Journey Home course is to help you heal each layer of consciousness that has held you back from your greatest life and restore your true self so that you can experience and embrace the pure and divine that is within you." Now, that really sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, need we say more?
So, okay, that tells you in some measure what the purpose is of your course. Can anybody take your course, do you think?
Absolutely.
They can get a degree of success regardless?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm here to be of service, and, you know, my passion and my destiny, if you will, you know, is to help empower people to find how, to see what I see in them, to see what God sees in them and knows them to be, you know, to help you return to your perfection.
Can you also see the positive aspects of the person? I mean, is this part of your one-to-one meetings or lessons with people? I mean, is this what you do, actually get to the bottom of their problems and then find the answers for them?
That's only part of it. I want people to find their truth, and I want people to find... I give them guidance in our sessions together. I hold the light for them so that they can walk into the light and find answers for themselves. I show them how and offer them tools. But it's really about empowering people to find their unique strengths and their gifts and their passions, and everybody, we all have everything we need. We all already are masters, and I just want to help you connect to that master that you already are, that is within you.
Right. Yes.
So I don't.
Carry on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't want to disempower people by, you know, like just doing readings or giving them answers. Or
right.
I do that as a part if it's for their highest good.
Yes.
But I really am more about, you know, I guide you. I shine the light ahead of you so you can see clearly.
Yeah. Do you find any difficulty in getting people to understand what you mean by connecting with the divine love that resides within their heart?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing because, you know, we've all been so wounded, and you know, care, and we, you know, this life is hard. This is a tough paradigm to live in, and nobody gets by unscathed, you know. So it's that kind of woundedness, if you will, that keeps people from even believing that they have this beautiful love as the core of their nature, of their being. So sometimes it is. And then that's when you just hold the space for them, and you hold the light for them, and you bring them, you know, you bring them in, help them come into the light so that they can discover that for themselves.
Yes. Now, I guess it must be so that not everyone has heard of this period when we are going towards ascension, or even understands what it is about. What does that mean to you? What is your interpretation of the ascension?
Ascension is, to me, the path that we're all on, whether we're aware of it or not, and it's really about coming home. It's doing completing a full circle of like a breath of God. It's like, you know, God, when God had his thought, when he spoke his word, we all became of trillions and trillions of lights, little aspects of himself. And God created us to know himself, to experience himself. And it's for us to return to that. That's our goal, and our objective is to return to the oneness, come back home into the heartbeat of God.
Right.
And so ascension is kind of a fancy word to say it's remembering. Because we're never not a child of God. We're never not perfect. We're never not whole. And we're not. There's never a point where we're never not divine. So it's just a matter of us remembering and accepting.
Yes, I believe you're quite correct there. You said earlier on that we are already masters, and I do believe that we have come into this expression to experience duality from quite a higher dimension. Now, what do you say to people who want to get onto the path of ascension? I mean, because I'm sure you get the same sort of emails that I do, where people want to know, what can I do?
Well, you know, that's exactly right. And, you know, there's seven basic levels to ascension. If you want to put it into the nuts and bolts of it, kind of like the how-to manual. And that's why I created the program, the Journey Home School. It's a three-month program. That's why I created that, because we, you know, when we were born, nobody gave us a how-to manual, how to do life, you know, who we are, what we're here for, what this is all about, how does it work, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your listeners are very advanced old souls, and you probably feel like you've always walked to a different beat. You've always thought differently and felt differently than other people, and you know, there's a lot of very, like you said, a lot of high level beings on this planet at this time. And, you know, God never gave us a how-to-do-life manual, how-to-return-home manual, although it is in all the religions. It, you know, ascension is written about in all the major religions of the world. But, you know, unfortunately, those kind of got tainted by man over time as well. But basically, it's mastering all the bodies. It's mastering your physical body, your emotional body, mastering your thoughts, mastering your desires, mastering your fears. Healing and mastering. It's about finding the shadow and embracing the shadow self. It's about, and see, people think in, I lived in Sedona for about 7 years, and people kind of created the metaphysical myth that if you're a spiritual person, you're never sad, you're never depressed, you're never without money, you know, if you're a spiritual person.
Yeah.
Well, that's not accurate. When we are doing our spiritual walk, we need to go in and uncover the unhealed wounds of the past. We need to go back in and reclaim those lost and forgotten, hidden aspects of ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you believe that there are karmic consequences here, what's been done in the past?
I don't see it as consequences. I see it as things that we didn't understand. You know, maybe if we did a deed, for example, if we killed somebody, somehow we've forgotten about love and compassion. We've forgotten about forgiveness. We've forgotten about kindness and empathy. We've forgotten our true nature. So we come back into the next life, and the next and the next until we learn and understand, you know,
yeah.
the forgiveness or the compassion or whatever it was that led us to do that harmful deed.
Yes, indeed. Now, you speak of people having a healthy and strong friendship with their higher self, and you say when they have that, anxiety will become a thing of the past. Now, how do you get people to understand that they have a higher self and relate to it?
And I think you said it just perfectly, Mike. It's not that we can understand that with our mind. We have to have an experience of our true nature. I mean, I can tell you all day long how divine and beautiful and brilliant and perfect and pure you are. But
yeah.
right? But the mind is going, yeah, not another. You know,
yeah.
you know, the mind can't wrap itself around it. And so the only way to really know is to go in and have your own experience.
Yes.
And so that the way that you can really truly know is by going into meditation, by going in and setting your intention, because we are so powerful. Our intention is the word of the universe. And so when we put our intention to truly know ourselves, I did an exercise years ago. This is how I got started. I decided, you know, I knew that the way that I was seeing myself was broken and flawed. I knew that I didn't like the way that I saw myself. And somehow deep inside it just didn't feel right. And I wanted it to change because it hurt. So
yeah.
I asked God, I informed God, that I wanted him to show me how he saw me. So my prayer and my mantra and my intention every day was, God, show me how you see me. Let me see me through your eyes. And when I did that, just my life just opened up. Because God always answers. And if it's for our highest good, God always says yes. And so I just started going deeper into my prayers, going deeper into my meditations. I was led to do different things, like go on vision quests. And pilgrimages and travel and do different things. And each of these experiences took me deeper into my own self and
yeah.
helped me to see and feel and experience my divine heart, and my true self.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You speak of a person's intuition becoming clearer. You say once it is, you will quickly know what choices are for your highest good. Now, is that getting a better contact and understanding of your intuition?
Absolutely.
In other words, being guided by it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your inner teacher, you know, this life is like a big camping trip, and God packed you with all the equipment you need to succeed. So, you know, your soul, your light bulb is shining brilliantly, completely inside of you. And so you have all the answers. You have all the divine blueprint. You came in here with your divine blueprint, your contracts, your soul contracts. You came in here with your objectives. And it's just a matter of, you know, connecting with that knowledge that's within you. Because before you came into this lifetime and each and every lifetime, yourself and your master guides and the beings of love, you know, you sat in council and you discussed, you know, coming into your next incarnation, what objectives were unfinished in the previous lifetimes, what it is that you wanted to accomplish and do, and how you would do that, and how you would succeed. So
yeah.
that's in your divine blueprint, that's in your Akashic records, that's in your soul, that's in your ethereal template. All that information and knowledge is right within you. And it's just a matter of, like you said, clearing out the old beliefs, clearing out the blocks, and clearing out the fears so that you can connect and hear the wisdom of your soul.
Yes. If someone's not really aware as to how, as you term it, the wounds from the past have come about, how do they manage to heal them?
Because our souls are infinitely wise, and we know, even if we don't know that we know, we know how that we need healing, and we intuitively are guided, you know, our guides, our souls, our angels, you know, like, if you're sad and you're depressed, all of a sudden you'll see a book or a workshop or a person will come into your life. You know, God's, you know, God is always talking with us and always helping us. So it's just a matter of us just paying attention and saying yes. You know,
right.
Every single step that you need, God won't give you something that you're not ready for yet. And on the other hand, God will give you everything that you need to be ready for your next step.
Yes. So I think that's perfectly true. Some people do try to run before they can walk. But I suppose once you project that intent, say it's in respect of wanting to be on the path to ascension, you are helping to create the pathway for yourself.
Absolutely, and we have to be patient, and we have to trust. And one of the first things that I do in the course is I help you create a friendship or a relationship, and first of all, help you heal that relationship, because, you know, God knows how our religions and our paradigms and our societies and have taught us maybe that God is a judgmental God or a fearful God or an uncaring God, or, you know. So, you know, first we have to heal that relationship, you know, and so the God becomes your friend, someone that you trust. And once you can trust the power that is, our creator, the source of our being, the source of love, once we have that intimate relationship or that friendship with that beingness, that essence of love, then we can let go of the feeling or the need to control things, or the feeling or the need that we have to make things happen, or that, you know, if I don't do this, then, you know, then it'll never get done. When you have God as your friend, you know, then you can let go of the fear, you can let go of the need to control or to make things happen, and you can let the flow happen. You can let yourself go into the flow, trust the flow, and just be guided in each and every moment what your next step is.
Yes. You say that the divine creator has given us a map that shows every step of the way home. How would you explain what that map is?
Well, that's the seven different steps of ascension. And if you look at Hinduism or any of the major Buddhism, the major religions of the world, all tell you, you know, about watching your thoughts, about purifying your body, about kindness and compassion and forgiveness, you know, purifying your emotional body, about finding the shadow self, and they always say, you know, the religions always say, well, killing off your shadow, you must destroy the ego. But I always say that whatever you try to kill will persist, you know. So rather than trying to kill your shadow and kill your ego and kill all your fears, I say, you know, that we embrace them and make your friend, your shadow, your ego self, your friend, your ally, and let the shadow self become excited about your divine path and put your shadow to work, and then your shadow will become light.
Yes. Nevertheless, do you not find with some people that the ego is a strong factor in bringing their mental body into alignment?
Sure. But if you look, what's underneath the ego is usually fear, some unhealed aspect that maybe that I'm sure that they're unaware of. You know, even the most angry people or the meanest people or the most controlling or cold or, you know, conceited or whatever, when you look underneath that layer, you start finding what really is underneath there, and there's really just woundedness. Maybe they've been wounded in some way that just needs to be healed, and once you heal that, then you become whole, and that pain no longer acts out. Because a lot of those things are really defense mechanisms.
Yes, yes.
And that's just defending their vulnerabilities, defending their wounded heart, you know, and they're not conscious of it. But those are our defense mechanisms. It's like if you take a kitten, and, you know, it's a sweet, innocent little fluffy love ball, and you terrorize it. Well, the kitty, you back that kitty in the corner, and it's going to pull out its little claws, and it's going to hiss at you, and it's going to fight for its very life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the kitty's bad, right? And that's how I see people, you know.
Yeah. Isn't it difficult, though, sometimes to get people to realize that their ego doesn't control them? Because we must have all met people who take no responsibility for their actions, and they say something like, oh, I can't help that, that's just me. they don't accept that they have it within themselves to change.
Right. And that's where you really want to look carefully, because they may not be ready yet. You have to be willing, like you said, to own it. You know, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to start being honest and looking at your part in things before you can even really spiritually progress. And maybe it's just not their time yet. Maybe they're too scared. Maybe they're too conditioned. But it, you know, that. But see, the beautiful thing is that God gives us 100,000 opportunities, you
yes.
know, in within every lifetime. So if this moment, if they're too afraid in this moment, you know, we can plant seeds.
Right. Is it possible to practice what I would call oneness while you're still in a physical body?
Absolutely.
In a physical life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you're in meditation, just close your eyes and do some deep breathing and do your mantras and do what takes you to the center of your beingness. And absolutely place your intention, you know, that just state your intention, it will be done, that you are in the center of oneness. State your intention that you are, that they're only one. I am all that is. I am. Just say, I am. And place your intention to experience that. It's glorious.
I guess all that is summed up by your expression of merging into the Christ consciousness.
Absolutely. We all carry, all of us carry that Christ consciousness within us. And it's just waiting for us to come home to it, to tap into it, to drink it up, to swim in it, to be blessed by it.
It must be comforting to people who want to get to know about ascension to realize, as you said, that it doesn't mean physical death, but rather the death of all that holds you back from being your greatest self, and that's quoting your own words.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, there's a lot of metaphysical misunderstandings, or there's a lot of fear around ascension. Well, does that mean that I'm going to lose everything? Does that mean I'm going to die? Does that mean, you know, what is, am I going to go into the great void beyond that, you know, is the great unknown and scares me? It's none of that. It's like coming home to your best fuzzy slippers, your best warm robe, your best fireplace, your pet dog, and your best friend and your love that sits with you. It's like, it's really, it's the most comforting, fulfilling, safest, warmest thing, experience ever.
And indeed the most natural one.
Exactly. Exactly. This world.
When we reach that point, do you believe that we will have achieved a state of what we could call unconditional love?
Absolutely. It's one and the same. It is, that is exactly what you're coming home to, is the unconditional, complete, fulfilling, divine, joyful love. It's accepting it. See, it's all around us. We're breathing it every moment. But see, our mind won't allow it in. Our mind can't accept it in. And that's why it's so crucial that we go inside to our divine mind and our divine heart and our divine knowingness that's in our being. And that's like in our gut. Our gut knowing is where our divine mind is in our divine heart. And experience the world through that rather than through the mind and the eyes and the ears and the touch. It's like we have to, it's like almost like Helen Keller. It's almost like becoming blind and deaf again so that you can re-experience the world in the true way.
Yes. I guess the bonus here is that you are set free from the wheel of rebirth, and I'm sure if people give it a little thought, they would love to find a way not to have to keep returning to the earth.
It's your passport out of here.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, as nice as certain experiences are, the fact remains you can't achieve perfection on the earth, can you?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that?
So, as nice as some of the experiences are, you can't really achieve perfection upon the earth in those lower dimensions or vibrations.
You can't achieve it from the earth, but you can be not of this earth, but walking in the earth plane.
Mm. Yes,
so we can achieve it, but our consciousness is not of it. We may physically be walking on this earth plane, but our consciousness is in really a much higher plane. And I think what you're also saying, Mike, too, is that, you know, the physical things will never bring you that love or that peace or that joy. Another person, yeah. An object, a title, a role, a job, nothing. Nothing can even compare to...
I agree, yes.
Uh-huh.
How do you approach people who come to you, perhaps, with a more religious background and have expectations of something they call the rapture? Can you sort of, in a manner of speaking, move their thinking onto a different path to think in terms of ascension rather than that particular experience? Or would you want to?
Oh, you know, if you can, you know, I traveled and I lived in Egypt and I became a Muslim 20 years ago. I lived in India and studied Hinduism. I lived in North Minnesota and Wisconsin and studied with the shamans there and with the elders and the Native Americans there. And, you know, so to me, it's like it's all God. And so you find the common denominator between the Christians and the Jewish and the, you know, and the Muslim and the Hindu and the Buddhist and the atheist. And you just find the common denominator, which is love.
Yeah.
And if they and you make yourself available to speak in the language that they're comfortable with, but it's all love. And it's all about returning to God, and all the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and all these texts are the roadmaps home to how to get back to God. So they all lead to the same way, the same destination.
Yeah. Well, I guess the trouble is that these different cults or religions tend to paint a different picture of what God means to them, and it isn't necessarily a God of all love, is it?
Nope. And that's kind of like the unprogramming we need to do, the unconditioning, the unlearning, if you will. And that's where it's really important to, you know, that's the first thing that I do in the course. We got to lay a foundation, and the foundation is your relationship with God, however you know Him or her or it to be. And we need to kind of go honestly. And be willing to get to know God maybe in a bigger way than you've ever known God to be. And that can include your religion and your faith and your understanding of God, but at least be willing to know God in another way. Allow God to show you Himself or herself in its full, true essence.
What do you actually mean by saying that people can have abundance? In what manner do you interpret the word abundance in that case?
It's for an example, if you're, you know, someone who's been affected by child abuse or torture in another country, or where you feel like you've cried out to God and asked God for help and you felt like God didn't answer. When in your deepest, darkest hour you cried out and you prayed for God to take you or to remove you from this situation and that didn't happen, you may feel like God abandoned you. That's not the reality of the situation, but that's the perception of the situation. You may feel the pain and the woundedness as though God didn't care, or God didn't answer your prayers, or God didn't take the cancer from your mama's body, or, you know, so that's our perception. And that's really what that's really at the heart of spiritual mastery, is shifting our perception.
Yeah. Because after all, we can't have things we want exactly when we demand them. I think when we want help from God,
right,
we have to be prepared to accept it and find it in the way that it is given rather than what we expect.
Exactly. And our soul signed up for some challenges. You know, God says that if we're not being challenged, we're not being provided the opportunity to grow. And so challenges are a part of this human condition. And, you know, some of the things that we signed up for may not be pleasant or may be painful or may be overwhelmingly challenging. And then the other things that we experience are things that we created with our own thoughts and with our own willfulness or our own unknowledge, you know, unaware of what we were creating or intending. So yeah. There are a lot of experiences that are very difficult, but like you said, you know, it's, you know, we have free will, and God doesn't come in and rescue us whenever we're in a difficult situation. It's like if you see your 3 or 4 or 5 year old child, and they're learning to tie their shoe, and they're struggling yeah. and they're struggling and they're struggling. You don't go in there and tie the shoe for them. You allow them the opportunity to figure it out, yeah. to tie it masterfully, and find the pride and the self-esteem and the confidence in that growth, right?
Absolutely.
And so we're all God's children. And so while we're going through our struggles or our challenges, and you know, He's not going to rob us of our triumphs.
Yeah, that's perfectly true. Now, I think you ought to tell us a little bit about your course. I would tell our listeners first that I know you have said the Journey Home School is actually a virtual-based school, and I think you do it that way, apparently, because you want to be able to reach as many souls as possible. But tell us about the course, you know, how people receive the lessons, how you consult them, or how they consult you. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, you just go online and fill out an application. And then we go through the process of I sign you up, and it's really quite effortless, and you will receive the first, or what you receive overall in the course is it 3 months, and every 4 weeks you receive an email from me that includes the link to download your ebook, and each lesson comes in a three-dimensional interactive ebook that you can work with online. You can write into the book. You can put post-it notes, and so you can. It's really interactive for you.
All right. Yes.
Uh-huh. And with that comes 12 phone consultations with myself and 12 email sessions. And the 12 email sessions, it's where you can ask some technical things or something that's not in depth. So you get three questions per email, and you have 12 email sessions with me throughout the 3 months that you can use. Any way that you wish, any time that you wish. So you can use 6 in 1 month, none the next, and 6 the next month. And you also get 12 telephone conversations with me as well. So then we can go deeper. So during those phone sessions, you know, you can process your feelings. We can go into counseling. We can go into how you're doing on the lesson, what it means to you, guidance, anything that you want to do. It's there to, you know, I'm there to support you, to walk the journey with you, to kind of show you and help you see and shine that light for you so that you can walk the path easier.
Is it possible to tell us what a typical consultation is like? You know, just an example of what goes on.
Sure. Call me, just the other day, a client called me up and we were talking about her job and how she really didn't like doing it because she didn't believe in what the company's policies were for working with clients, but she knew in her soul that she needed to be there, and we were able to discern that the reason why she's in that specific location and in that job is because she was holding light, she was helping to create the matrix. See, we each carry a certain vibration, a certain code. We all are each a part of the tapestry, and this earth is rebuilding the new matrix of the fifth dimension. And so each of us are carrying these codes, and so, you know, she happens to be in Wisconsin, and she feels so isolated in Wisconsin because there's no other light workers to talk with, there's no other people of like mind and spirit around her,
yeah.
And she's like, why am I here? Well, for her soul, she chose to hold the light there, to put her codes into the grid, and in the meantime, she's learning how to trust God and to really let go and to be patient with God because she wants to start a nonprofit organization. And so, you know, it's for her to be patient and to trust and that God's building her muscles so that she can be successful when she does get the nonprofit going.
Yeah.
So we talk about...
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Sorry, yes.
So we talk about everything and anything, you know.
Yeah.
Relationships, childhood, everything and anything. Dreams.
Right.
Jobs.
You must, at times... find it difficult, I guess, to get to the root of some people's problems. Did you think out this course yourself? Was that your idea?
Yes. I was told when I lived in India in an ashram for a couple months, my husband and myself. And when we came back, I was told to write this. And I was also told to, I was actually given a dream that I was to do the master's cleanse for 40 days and 40 nights, which is kind of like a fast.
Right.
Yeah. So I did that for 40 days and 40 nights, as I was guided to do. And during that time, that's when I just went into my meditation, and I just allowed myself to be a pure channel of God's love and his words, and let him write it, and that's how it was created.
Right. You say you got these instructions in your dream. It was possibly more than a dream, but does that happen very often to you? I mean, do you think you are sometimes out of the body in the different realms?
Yeah.
You are. Yeah,
absolutely. That's where my home is.
Oh, right.
Absolutely.
So you consciously meet people or spirit there, and you're able to bring back the memories of what's taken place.
Oh, absolutely. That's like me going for a nature walk.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we don't all get that type of experience, obviously, but yours is for a very good purpose because of the work you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, what do people get at the end of your program?
Well, for example, one student that just finished her course, the piece that was missing for her, she had done a lot of healing work, she had done a lot of spiritual growth, and she'd been, you know, doing a lot of books and workshops and courses, and the part for her that was missing was her connection with God. And then after that, the other part that was missing for her was how to walk as a spiritual being, how to walk and do life as a soul, as a spiritual being, how to do life that way. And so those are the pieces that she really got from the course. And everybody's going to get something different because it covers, again, healing of the mind, body, spirit, and mastery of the mind, body, spirit. So everybody's going to receive what they need from it. So some people may just really make peace with their body for the first time in their life. Some people may heal their past. Some people may not be a slave to their mind and their thoughts, and it may have healed the monkey mind syndrome. So everybody's going to receive exactly what they need in that moment in their journey.
Right. I gather that you have provided for people that may be so successful that they want to go on to a teacher's course as well.
Yeah, that's one of the things in the works. The first thing that I'm doing is I'm creating this program. I'm modifying it for our children, and I'm creating a school for them. And then after that, then I will be creating the master's teacher course. So if they feel like they want to pass it forward and bring it back to their community and help people, they'll be able to do that.
I think it's worth mentioning also that if someone who is interested and they don't necessarily have the complete financial means to pay the full amount, you are establishing a scholarship fund.
Yes, because, you know, I know when I was on my journey and I see so many people who, you know, what's standing between them and their life of freedom and joy and happiness and fulfillment is money. And that's not the way God intended it. You know, all resources are for everyone, and no one's more entitled than, you know, to have, and others are not less entitled to have not. So, you know, they're God's resources, so absolutely. We want to create have a scholarship fund. People can apply for, well, right now, you know, I've got a few people on scholarship, so our funds are a little bit low on the scholarship area, but I never want to turn anybody away, so put that out there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a very nice approach. I think now we ought to just look at how you set your course out as far as the different levels. And I've had a look at the table of contents, for example, level one, and you seem to have gone into quite a lot of detail and thought here. The introduction starts off by asking, and presumably you talk with people on all these different subjects, you talk about what are we doing here? And what is happening?
Well,
do you do that with everyone? Do you sort of have a sort of set program initially that you follow that way?
I find a lot of people are wondering, you know, especially when you are awakening, when you're spiritually awakening, it's like your birth. And you kind of like you're looking around this world and your eyes are blinking and wide open and you're going, well, what am I doing here? And what is this all about? And who am I? And why am I on this planet? And what does it mean?
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to do here? You know, the greater picture. And a lot of people really are in that place where they're like, what's this all for? I know I'm not here. I know it's more than a 9-to-5 job. I know it's more than paying bills and you know, doing the dishes. So what am I here for?
Yeah.
And they're seeking and they're hungry and they want to know. And so,
so you help them to find out and you build on that by opening them up to, I suppose, other understandings.
One step leads to the next.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
I can remember some years ago when I retired, for about a year I felt I was twiddling my thumbs and I didn't seem to be getting anywhere. And in the past I had run groups and been involved in healing and all things like that, but it seemed to have come to a stop. And I can remember putting out the thoughts in prayer saying, look, I've got a lot to offer. Would you please use me? Well, they certainly did. I've never been more busy than what I am now, putting my messages out. And well, the radio program doesn't take up a lot of time, but it's nevertheless still another level of work. So I'll go along with that. If you want to put yourself into service, I think, for other people, I think if you put the message out that you'd like to do it, you do get an answer to that one.
Or an avalanche to that one.
Yeah.
God's probably like going, oh, she asked, he asked, finally, thank you.
Yeah, well, I'm bearing in mind, and I agreed with you on that point, that we do have free will, and I guess unless it's already in our life contract, we're not going to have things imposed upon us. We've got to decide and first ourselves.
You know what I found is like one of the major keys to all this is just saying yes.
Mm.
You know, leave the mind out of it. Leave the how am I going to do it? Where's the money going to come from? How? What business? What this? What? Leave the mind out of it, and really just say, just allow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find that's just the easiest way to do it?
I guess it's very hard sometimes to not worry about the money aspect of things, but I hear so many instances of people who live their life that way in service to the light, and miraculously, even when they seem to be penniless, if they need to make a trip, the money somehow appears. It's quite remarkable.
Isn't it? God knows that we have a need before we know we have a need. Absolutely, and is the way that I figure it is, you know, if God needs you to be in the UK for a seminar, He's going to provide the means. He doesn't set us up to show us what we need without providing the solution.
Yes, indeed. I like your reference to leading our life as a walking meditation. Perhaps some people wouldn't understand what you mean by that. Perhaps you'd like to tell us.
Oh, it's the sweet spot. It's like it's where we are aware of our thoughts. We have healed or are healing our emotions. We are living in the present moment. We are connected and in relationship with our beloved Creator. We feel the love surrounding us, filling us in our heart. We know we're here, we know we're beautiful and divine, and we're just a child of God, being of service, and letting God's love effuse out of us and touching other people's lives. And so you're in that peace, you're in the moment, you're in that breath, and you have complete knowingness and complete understanding that all your needs are provided, everything that you could ever want is in that breath, is in that peace.
Yeah. I also like your statement that service is the art of giving back.
We don't do for others because we want something. We do for others because we have been given so much.
Yeah. we live in a life, I think, where often people give with the full expectation of getting something back. It's like at Christmas time when you give each other perhaps Christmas presents. And I think some people are offended if they don't actually get one back in return. But you're right, you shouldn't have that sort of expectation, because if you give in the right manner, in the right feeling, that's all that counts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a complete full circle unto itself. You give to somebody, and immediately you already receive. You receive the joy, you receive the happiness, it's a beautiful feeling. And
yeah.
So immediately you receive even more than you gave.
Absolutely, yes. I feel like that. I have no expectations from people when I give. I'm just happy for them. Now, we've been having an excellent chat here, and I have to thank you very much for coming in at such short notice. I didn't mention that when I introduced you, but I think my regular listeners will know that I had to make a last-minute change, and it's really great of you to have come in so quickly. I think we ought to use the last few minutes of the program, because I finished 5 minutes to the hour, and I need a minute or so to announce next week's guest. By you giving out your website addresses, your email if you take email inquiries, and incidentally, I've said that you were an author. Do you have any current books that are on sale?
Well, my book was just about to be published, and we decided to wait for about a year. So
I see, right.
That's to be continued, to be something to look forward to next year.
All right. So is that, without saying too much, is that based on what you teach in the courses?
Yes.
It is. Logically, it would be.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have sort of CDs or DVDs about any aspect of it?
I have a couple CDs, and one of the CDs comes with the course.
Yeah.
But I have not the rest of my CD series out. But that's thank you for mentioning me. That it's time for me to get that out. So.
Right,
thank you.
Yes. Okay, well, we'd like to give you every chance to tell people what you've had. Give them your two website addresses so that they can make a note. And I will tell you that when I do the archive report, I will make sure that those are repeated in there, so if anybody misses it, they can look it up on the web. So perhaps just go ahead and do that.
Okay, thank you. It's www.thejourneyhomeschool.com. And my email is voiceforhope, and that's the number 4, so VOICE, the number 4, HOPE, at MSN.com. And our nonprofit, the ranch that we're building for children and for rescued horses, you can see our vision and our work there at www.7raisedranch.com.
And the 7 is the number 7.
The number 7. If they typed out 7, it would go there as well.
Oh, well, I see. Okay, that's fine. That's a lovely combination, I think, children and horses, isn't it? They go together well somehow.
Yeah, I think horses are naturally powerful healers and intuitives and magical beings, and children are that way as well, and you bring the two together, and I think miracles can happen.
Yeah. I don't suppose for 1 minute your idea of having a school for a sanction for children is unique, but I must say, I haven't come across that idea before. That sounds quite exciting.
I'm very excited. You know, our children, and especially now, with the indigo children and the crystal children,
yeah,
and these beautiful old souls, and it's just a way for them to remember what they came here to do and give them the tools to do it.
Yes, I think they do need a special consideration to what they have to offer humanity. I have to thank you here and now, Kelly. It's been a very interesting interview. I've got about a minute left to announce next week's guest. So thank you very, very much. You've got a very nice voice. I'm sure when you have your one-to-ones with people, they feel very reassured. It's a very pleasant, gentle voice you have there. So,
oh, thank you. And I love your
accent. You're successful.
Thank you.
Anyway, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, friends, next week I have Howard Weiner. He's interested in hunches, which he refers to as your inner guidance. And he believes that most people need to know how to tune into their hunches and be able to tell whether they are true or not. He's written a book about it, and obviously he's going to speak about it during the interview. So thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.